Galatians chapter 3. And while you're doing that, I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray that, Lord, that you would speak through your word, and Jesus, that you would be exalted and glorified through your word. All of this is about you, and I just pray that you'd help us see your glory and your majesty, Jesus. We love you and we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I spent a lot of hours with my grandpa changing my truck, changing the oil, changing wires, and changing tires. And there was one time when we were changing a tire on my truck, and when I started changing this tire, I of course pulled out my manpower and the big four crossway bar where you put it on the lug nuts and you just start pulling. And as a 16-year-old, I really wasn't getting anywhere at all with that. That lug nut was just not moving in my strength. It wasn't happening. And I just remember the moment when, like, my grandpa came over there and he just sat with me and he just kneeled down and he took out the air drill and he goes, and I was like, oh my goodness. I had never seen before. Like, I did not have the power or strength to do that. And yet I had just been trusting in the wrong thing. I was trusting in myself when I could have been trusting in this, my grandpa, and in his in the power tool that took the tire off. And the reason I say that is because here in this text in the church of Galatia, they were trusting in the wrong thing. Or should I say the wrong person? They were trusting in the law and in circumcision, and it was powerless. It was just as powerless as me trying to get that lug nut off with a four-way crossbeam. I might as well try and get it with my hand. I couldn't do it. And the church here at Galatia also could not be righteous by their own effort or by keeping the law, but only by faith in Jesus. And so you start by faith in Jesus and you finish by faith in Jesus because he's the power that does that in us. And so that's where we're at in Galatians 3. So look in Galatians 3. We're starting verse 1. And Paul doesn't want you to be foolish like I was that day trying to take the tire off. He says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you or who has fooled you?" He says, seriously? What, you fool? Someone has cast a spell on you. You are believing something that is so false and so contrary. So what is that? And if you look back in chapter 1 at verse 6 and 7, he says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and you're turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another one, but that some are troubling you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." So Paul is saying you are believing a false gospel, but you're not just believing a false message. You're deserting Jesus completely when you're believing this lie. And so what is the false gospel? Well, in summary, it's a form of legalism. It is keeping the Mosaic law, like one little law was trying to be circumcised in order to keep the law, in order to be righteous before God or be saved. Or keeping certain rules will justify you or help you attain the righteousness of God rather than simply having faith in Jesus. And this can include trusting in your own good morals or trusting in your own good efforts rather than trusting in Jesus alone. And I get that in Galatians 5:2, where Paul's addressing circumcision. So if you look at Galatians 5, verse 2, he says, "Look, I, Paul, I say that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you." Or look down at verse 4. "You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace." It is either you're going after the law, but you realize in going after the law to be justified or to be righteous before God, you are falling away from Jesus himself. You are turning from the power of God and his working in grace, and you're turning to self-reliance, to the law, and it is powerless to save you. And that false reliance was just being expressed through trying to keep the law or by trying to be righteous, to be justified on their own. And he says, you're severed from Christ in trying to do this. Not relying on Jesus and on his sacrifice alone, who he makes us righteous by his blood. And he says, you're being a fool. And he keeps reading. He says, it was before your eyes that Jesus was portrayed as crucified. Paul's saying, it was before your eyes. Don't you remember? You saw with your own eyes what God did. Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. He's like, don't you remember? God offered up his only son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified on the cross as the final payment for our sin, to forgive you, to renew you. Look at what God has done. The Son of God has died and rose. What more do you think is required? How do you add on to that? How can you beat what Jesus has done? Is his sacrifice on the cross not enough to make you completely holy and righteous in him? Why are you trying to add on to what Jesus did by your religion? And I would say not even add on, but why are you abandoning him with your religion? If you could contribute anything to your salvation in Jesus, why would God have to send his son to die for sin in your place? And I think he's thinking about verse 21 in chapter 2, where he says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness, or if God declaring us to be righteous, if that were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Christ died for no purpose. Don't you see that salvation is only in Christ Jesus? It is only the power of God. And it's God's grace that you are saved through faith. And so Paul continues to lay out this logic. And he says, we contribute nothing but to believe. And not just in the beginning when we were saved. You don't just leave believing Jesus and go back to your power, because you didn't do it in the first place. So what makes you think that you can upkeep or sustain it? Okay, so let's keep reading. He says, verse 2, let me ask you only this. Okay, so Paul's going to ask us a question, and I want you to do the same thing. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So simple question, I think she answered it. I didn't hear it, I'm sorry, but I'm assuming it's right. Did you work really hard to keep a certain set of laws, like being circumcised or a certain law that God required? Did you do that to receive God's Spirit, or did you hear the truth about what Jesus accomplished on your behalf on the cross and believe him? That's the question he's asking. And I hope you're saying, well, duh, you believed in Jesus, then you received his Spirit. That's the only way, is by faith. And so the main emphasis is, did you receive the Spirit? And that's the main focus, receiving the Spirit. So what is that? God in Christ, he gives us his own Spirit to live in you. By faith in Jesus. And this is being in Christ. It's being a new creation where God fundamentally changes your heart. See, God didn't want us to be just a people that just kept his rules but had no love for him. That's not what he required. That's not what he wanted. But he makes us into people that actually love him and desire to do what pleases him. And how does he do it? He comes and lives in us who have faith in Jesus. And so he lays out two paths: faith in Jesus, living in the Spirit through faith, through believing him, or the other. He says the works of the law, which is useless, or you could just say of works of the law. Which one supplies you with God's Spirit and saves you? Was it by faith in Jesus or by your own doing? And if you'd like the answer to that question, it'd be good to look back in chapter 2, verse 16. Listen to how many times he says faith or believing. He says, we know a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. I think it's pretty clear. He has a big emphasis, believe Jesus. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. And that's why he says in verse 3, are you so foolish? Look what he says. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? So there's that first path. Having begun by the Spirit, which is faith in Jesus and his power, God's power working in and through you. And what is contrasted to that? Well, it's being perfected by the flesh. And that word perfected means to be complete before God, to be holy and without blame before him, to share in his holiness. And faith in your work to be righteous or your power or your flesh is being perfected by the flesh, or trying to be perfected by the flesh. And so Paul says, if you've received the Spirit as a miracle of God by believing Christ, why would you rely on human effort to continue or complete a work that only God can complete in you? Why would you do that? You didn't start it in the first place. And how are you going to finish it? And now you are going to abandon simply believing Jesus to try and earn God's righteousness by being circumcised or keeping the law, or maybe having some kind of outward conformity to the laws of God, but not really relying on him to change you on the inside by God's power at work in you. Again, it reminds me of just reverting back to that, working back to changing a tire by your hand or by the strong four-way bolt. Oh, maybe I can do it this time, you know? And it's like, man, what, you're leaving the, what happened to the only true power to actually change the tire? And God's saying, I am the power that changes your heart. Me. And the power of the flesh is useless, and so is putting faith in your own work. And so Paul says, are you so foolish? So why is our flesh and the law powerless to justify us before God? Why is it powerless? Well, it's powerless to save, and it's useless, and it's actually slavery when we rely on our flesh and the law. So the flesh, when you read your Bibles and you read throughout Scripture, I kind of made this little definition to describe what the flesh is. The flesh is the controlling power that works in humans for sin to reign in our life. That's what the flesh is. It's where sin reigns in your life. And by human nature, we naturally live by the flesh. And the flesh, when we live by it, it cannot please God. It is absolutely hostile to him because it does not submit to him willingly. It's impossible to live a life pleasing to God by our flesh or by our work. And so going back to your working, whether it's a conformity to an outward regulation or law or relying on yourself, it's not only contrary to trusting Jesus, but going back to your work is actually declared as a curse by God. You would be cursed. And where do I get that? Look at verse 10. He says, if you're living by the flesh or by works, for as many as are of works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. And so you see in your Bible that phrase, works of the law. That refers to trying to establish your own salvation or your own righteousness by keeping the Mosaic law, driven by your flesh in order to save you. And God says, if this is you, you are under a curse. You're giving yourself over to a curse. And what is that curse? Well, you see, when God made a covenant with his chosen people in Israel, he gave them laws to keep and to live by in order to be in relationship with him as a holy God. And guys, God, he loved the people of Israel. He loved them so much. And there was a clear separation from him since he was holy to a sinful man, but he still wanted to have relationship with them. And so through that covenant, he promised by giving them laws that if they loved them through the laws, if they loved him with all of their heart and soul and mind and strength, they would show their love for him by keeping his commands. And God would be their king and he would be their God. And they would have life with him, relationship with him. And he would bless them and God would be with them. And so loving the Lord through their obedience, that would be blessing and it would be life. And God promised that you obey me, you walk with me, you love me, you will have life. But he says, if they disobeyed by not loving him through keeping his laws, that wouldn't just be a rejection of his commands, but that would be a rejection of God himself. And it makes me think about like when you tell a child to like clean their room and they're like, oh no, forget that. You know, they turn left, you know, like not doing that. Well, okay, you're not just rejecting the command, right? Why is it so hurtful to the parent? Well, because you're rejecting the parent themselves, not just the command. And that was the same thing that the Israelites were doing. They weren't just rejecting the set of laws that God had given them. They were rejecting him. Person. And when he laid out these laws in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, that's the slide. God lays out these laws before them and gives it to him. And God says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, two options, blessing and a curse. Therefore, choose life that your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and the length of days. And so if they're choosing life, what are they choosing? Obedience to him. And that would be blessing. But what happens if they chose disobedience or rejection against him? Well, they're choosing a curse, and they would receive that curse. And what is that curse? Death, blessing, and life in obedience. But for disobedience, it's death and a curse. So curse and death go side by side. So disobedience with no love would be the curse, and that curse would be death. So now look back at verse 10 with that. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the law to do them. And so in context, Paul is saying, you're wanting to go back to depending on your works. Do you not see what it says? Abide by all things that are written in the curse of the law. Galatians, you are focusing on this one little law of circumcision in order to be righteous before God, yet you don't even keep all of it. Don't you realize that the law condemns you by your failure to keep it or uphold it? And our flesh cannot abide according to God's commands, all of them. In verse 11, it says that, of course, it's evident that no one's justified before God by the law. Think about it. What's the summary of the Lord, of the law? To love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. When have we ever done that? Don't you see that none of us have ever loved the Lord with all of our might, with all of our soul, and all of our strength? And we're reverting back to something like circumcision or the law to be made righteous before God? Which means in our best effort to be righteous, we were cursed by God by trying to uphold it. And then look back in verse 11. For the righteous one will live by faith. So not only can we not uphold the law, but you're also disregarding the only way that God makes a person righteous, which has always been by faith. It's always been by trusting him. And that's a quotation from Habakkuk chapter 2. And so Paul says, all who are of works are under God's curse because the righteousness of God is only given by faith. It's of God that you receive by faith. That is how you receive the righteousness of God. And so the curse of the law is our condemnation for our rejection of God. And the law reveals our slavery to sin, and it will never produce any righteousness of God, and it will not produce a heart that loves him. It will not. And so in summary, we are in ourselves are helpless and powerless, and you can't do it. If you're of works of the law, you will never do it. But you know what the law is? It's a tutor. And it teaches us something. And it teaches us that we need Jesus. You see, there is only one person who perfectly lived the life that pleased God, who loved the Lord, his God, with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with all of his soul, and with all of his strength, every single day. For all of his life. And he lived not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit in obedience to his Father. And this was Jesus, the Son of God, who obeyed the Father even unto death. And you might be asking, man, wouldn't it be nice if I could have his life manifested in and through me so that I could bear fruit for God? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be awesome? If he would live and abide in me to do it on my behalf? Guys, this is exactly what God has promised us in Christ Jesus. And this is no law keeping. This is faith in Jesus and in love for him for all that he has done. This is faith working through love, not circumcision or uncircumcision. See, God doesn't want your mere external obedience. He wants all of you. He wants all of your heart. So in Christ, God can powerfully work within us and pours out the love of him into our hearts through his Spirit. And so let's look at what Christ has done. Because I'll show you what will produce love in your heart when you have faith in him. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So this Christ Jesus obviously refers to Jesus and him as our Lord, as our King, as the Savior of the world, and that he is in contrast to work of our flesh or works of the law. And what did he do? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. And that word redeem means to purchase, to buy us out from slavery so that you no longer belong to the law, but you belong to another. You belong to him by faith. And for those who submit to Jesus and rely on him, Jesus, he buys us out from under the whole system of works and of law and of religion. He frees you from the curse of death. And how does he do that? How does Jesus redeem us? Having become a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You see, Jesus received the just condemnation of God that our sin and disobedience demanded according to the law. He took it. That curse of death that we were under, that was the death that he died once for all. That's a quote, having cursed is he who hangs on a tree. That's a quote from Deuteronomy 21, where when someone commits a crime under the law that was worthy of death, he was killed for it, and he hung on a tree, or was hanged on a tree. And God declared that that person was cursed by God, displayed by his death on a tree for his sin that he committed. But do you see what Jesus has done? When Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, the Son of God actually became the curse of death by dying for law-breaking sin that he never even committed. You see, God pronounced the curse of death on his own Son for our offenses against God, so that we could receive forgiveness simply by faith and trust in him. In love for us, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died in our place, taking the condemnation that we had earned. And if you remember back to Deuteronomy in that slide, remember how obedience for them would equal life and disobedience would equal death? In Jesus, it's been flipped. What did the perfect obedience of Jesus get him? Death. Death on a cross. And now through his death and through his resurrection, we now have a life in him. So Jesus was cursed by God as a sacrifice for sin, so that by faith in Jesus, we receive the very righteousness of God, because now we are united to him. Like we just saw, buried with him in baptism. We die with him and we are raised up with him, so that now with him, the resurrected Lord and King Jesus, we now can live with him as he abides in us and we walk in new life. So what happens when you receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who raised up from the dead in power as the Savior that died for the as the full atonement for your sin? Well, look at verse 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having come a curse for us. And then verse 14, in order. So that's a purpose statement. It wasn't just about your forgiveness. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is why God gives us his Spirit and we live by faith. It's because it's Christ who now lives in and through us, so we can live as children who have been freely forgiven and now can bear fruit for God by the power of Christ in us, working in and through you. And when you put your full reliance on Christ as Savior and Lord, you're abandoning yourself and you are dying with him. And he raises you up with him in his resurrection, so that by faith in him, you now can walk in a new life. And if you look to the life of Jesus, it makes sense. He lived a whole life that was pleasing to his Father. And man, if Christ is in us, working through us, how could we not also bear the same fruit as him? By his Spirit. And it's that's freedom. We don't belong to the law anymore and its demands, because you've been forgiven of that condemnation if you're in Christ. And you actually belong to him now. He took that condemnation that you and I deserved, and he promises through his Spirit in you to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law in you. Why? Because you have a new heart, because you have him in you. And so what is Paul getting at here? Believe. Trust him. It's not just believing and trusting him at first. Your life is him. He is your life. And then you can say, just as Paul did, I've been crucified with Christ. It's not me that lives anymore, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, your flesh, if you are in Christ by faith, it's already been crucified with him on the cross. And now you have life with him in the Spirit. And that's why it's believing him, because he does the work in and through you. And this is God's promise, that the work is done by Jesus to forgive you completely. And in him, you have no more condemnation. And he completes it in us who believe. And we live in Jesus by continually believing him to finish his work in us. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this life, Lord, that you have given to us. Lord, I thank you that you actually fulfill the righteous requirement of the law in us who believe you, Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you that you, by your strength and by your power, complete the work in and through us for your sake and for your glory. And Lord, I pray just for us and for me, Lord, that we would not be abandoning faith and grace in the power of you, Christ, to work in us, but we would just cling to you, Jesus, and trust you with all of our heart, that, Lord, you displayed your life and your obedience to the Father, and how much more now that you live in us and that you have made us clean and holy and righteous by the blood you shed on the cross, would we live a life that is pleasing to you through your Spirit, Lord. I just pray you just help us believe it, Jesus, please. We love you. In your name I pray, amen. All right, guys, I want to bless you. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.